Thank you for everybody who brought this together, but it's a work of God that opens the heart, right? Yeah. We can't do that. But we want to be there, don't we? We want to be a part of that. And so we pray and ask God that He will do the work. He will open the hearts. But here we are yet. And so thank you for being a part of this. We got to touch a lot of lives by the grace of God, didn't we? You know, today I skipped ahead of the scripture a little bit to talk about something. I want to look at this. I know we've only got about 25 minutes. You guys are like, Pastor Ryan, it ain't possible for you. You can't do that. We're going to try. 25 minutes. I want to talk about this. How many of us, don't even raise your hand. You don't have to. How many have been running like nuts for the last 5-6 weeks? And you're just like, I can't do it. You're running out of gas, right? And today's prices, that ain't a good thing. You know you need something, like right now. And by the grace of God, we got to feed about 400 people at the carnival. Can we give an amen to for that for God? Yeah. We got to work with around 40 kids this week. Can we get an amen for that? Amen. We got to take kids to camp. Can we get an amen for that? How many of you are ready for a nap? Amen. Amen. We don't complain about the work. It's good, but we also know that we need rest sometimes, don't we? I want to talk about this right now because God does something. Open your Bibles to Mark, and I want you to go, please, to Mark chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 30. There's a couple things in the chronology we missed. If you guys remember, Jesus had equipped the 12, gave them authority and power to go out and do miracles like He had been doing. And He sent them out to teach, to preach, to witness about Him, and to perform many great signs. And in this section of Scripture, they have now come back. And they're excited. Can you imagine being given all the powers of Jesus? You get to do all this amazing stuff. And now He's like, now let's get back and talk about every great thing that God did. Anybody else think that would be a great conversation? Oh, it's amazing. And so, this is really a neat time as well, because these guys, for the first time, at least in the Gospel of Mark, you guys know what a disciple is, right? It's someone who's following Jesus, who has become a student of Him, not just academically. They've sought Him to be like Him in life. That's what a disciple is. How many of us are disciples in Christ? Raise those hands, because if you are a Christian, you are a disciple in Jesus Christ. There's no other option. It's not like I'll sign up for the extension program, I'll do one class a year, and eventually I'll get my Christian degree. He says, no, follow Me. Come follow Me. I'll make you a fisher of men. You're a disciple, a student, a learner. And we walk with Christ every day, not just during class hours, right? And He says, this is what you're going to be. But not everybody got to be an apostle, a sent one out. And this is the first time in Scripture, at least in the Gospel of Mark, that He says, you 12, I'm sending you out as sent ones, apostles. I'm giving you authority in My name. I am giving you power to go do the works that I'm doing. And He sends them, and now they're coming back. Something also happened right now during this time. How many of you all know when God equips us for work, there's lots of good. We're celebrating the good that happened. Was it an easy week? What happened last week? Like, we get home from the 4th of July and take a second to breathe. What happened? Fire. You're just like, Lord Jesus, what's happening? Okay, here we go. We're in fire mode, right? You're packing your bags, or a lot of you are like, I didn't unpack from last year. And you're ready to go, and you're like, Lord, people ask me, what are we going to do? We talked about it. What are we going to do? It's like, well, we've got a building. We've got a generator. We can still have VBS, and by God's grace, was that fire put out quick or what? Oh, thank you, Lord. So we're grateful for this, and it's not always easy. Just because God equips us and sends us and calls us, it doesn't mean that the work is not going to have its bumps. Boom. You know? Man, right, Ron? There's some bumps out there in that parking lot. We got to watch out. That's a private joke. I won't explain it anymore. But I tell you, there are just some things we got to watch out for, and they're not always going to be easy. And so here's this thing, and these guys come, and here's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Jesus gets these guys back, and let's start in Mark 6. Sorry, I keep closing my Bible. Why do I do that? Mark 6, verse 30. That would help if I wasn't in Matthew. Mark 6, verse 30 says, and the apostles gathered together with Jesus. They reported to Him all that they had done and taught. And He said to them, come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. For there were so many people coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. Right? And so they went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. How many of you all know that there is indeed a time that God will call us to rest? Amen? I mean, he even set it up in creation. He gave us a whole day off, right? He's like, well, number one, isn't that cool? God did all that work, but then he gets a day off too. Not that he needed it. Who was the Sabbath made for? What did Jesus say? He says, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. Because you and I need rest. And God built it as a time of reflection, a time of rest, a time of restoration. And here, Jesus is talking to the disciples whom he empowered to do his work. And he looks at them and all the great things they've done and says, guys, it's been busy. Let's take some time together. And he sits and invites them. So the first point I want you to put in your Bible, or in your outlines, pardon me, is that Jesus invites you to rest in him. Jesus invites you to rest in him. You see, Jesus, he doesn't just only recognizes our own need, but he affirms it, that there is a need for rest for those who work in them. And he invites them along. And here's a real cool thing. We're going to quote a few of the different Gospels. There's a couple things that every gospel writer... First of all, are you glad there's more than one gospel as far as the books in the Bible? Guys, if God repeats something twice, it's important. If he repeats it three times, it's really important. What if he gives you four books about the same person in their life? We don't have anything else like that. It's important. We have four different people who walked with Jesus or studied about everything that happened from the eyewitnesses so that you and I can have a good picture. And we're going to look at that today, that some of these things help us to see. Matthew liked to focus on Jesus, his Jewish roots, his kingship. In fact, his favorite title for him was Son of David. You guys know Son of David, right? Son of David means not just David's kids. It was the one that was promised by God ahead of time that one of David's sons would sit on the throne forever. I think I hear Jesus calling now. And then you've got Mark. He was writing to a Roman audience. Mark worked with Peter and wrote down what Peter talked about Jesus. And then he shared it with these people. In fact, Mark, you notice a lot of times Jesus is always going immediately to the next thing. Going to the next thing. It's about the work of Christ. Luke was a doctor. His favorite title was the Son of Man. Talked a lot about the humanity of Christ. And how about John? What did he emphasize? Oh, how about the deity of Jesus? We get this beautiful picture. And not that. Those other titles or pictures aren't seen in the other Gospels. It's not like one guy wrote his story and then he's like, oh, that guy got it way wrong. Let me correct it. What it was you see a lot of the same accounts, the same things. And then it's like, no, this guy got it. But let me also share with you other things that were there. I was there. And then we have these beautiful things when we look at it all together that we can see something, a better picture. Because it might just look like Jesus is just getting away, but I love this in Mark that he says, come with me. It's a Greek word that Jesus used before when he would tell somebody, you follow me. That's what he's saying here. It's not y'all go guys like a coach after you've done a bunch of laps. Hey, go get some water, take a break. He says, come follow me so you can get rest. Jesus is inviting them with him to go and to get some rest for their souls. But how many of you guys know that we don't always get what we want, right? When you think things are over and you think things are done, when you think you're about to start a church service and a fire, you know, like a smoke alarm goes off. Anybody relate to that this morning? Yeah, we all do. We just had that happen. And so we know that Jesus had this thing about his life where he would constantly take time away to be with the Father to pray. If the Son of God took time intentionally to pray, to rest, shouldn't we all? But sometimes I want to look at this because Jesus invites us to rest in him. And I'm preaching to myself, not you guys. You let the Spirit talk to you. Are you resting in Jesus? Are you resting in Christ? You see, sometimes Jesus will give us rest in places we didn't think were possible. Anybody ever find peace in a moment that the world says you shouldn't have peace in? You see, this is the thing about it, and that's the point number two. Jesus can meet all needs. Jesus can meet all needs. Because here's the thing. Jesus says, come away with me. Let us go to a secluded place to rest. And then here's the problem. The people, it says in verse 33, saw where they were going, and many recognized them and ran there on foot from all the cities to get there ahead of him. They followed him on foot. There he is, right? It's like girls screaming at the Beatles or Elvis, and Elvis has left the building, people following him. Well, here's Jesus. People know him. They've seen the signs, it says in the Gospel of John. It says, because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick, so they followed and they raced out there. Now, here's the thing. Will there be needs all the time? Yeah, we're always going to have to deal with that, aren't we? And you know what? If you are a provider, do people seem to come find you? If people know that you've met their needs in the past, will they not come and continue to try to get them? But as a Christian in Christ, our job is not just to look how we meet the needs, but it's also to invite people to know and introduce them to the real one who meets the needs. Amen? You see, Jesus even had this problem because later on in the account, especially in John, he says, not only did we know, we're building up to where Jesus feeds 5,000, not just people, 5,000 men. You see, it was out there. It's like at least 5,000 men were there. And you think, oh, 5,000 people, that's a lot. Anybody want to feed 5,000 people? It was busy feeding 400. You know, if you worked in the kitchen at VBS, feeding 50 or 60 is tough. But Jesus feeds 5,000. And we know that this is not just the men. In fact, it goes on in other gospel accounts to say not just the men, but the women and the children. Some people estimate there could have been more than 25,000 people. Anybody want to cater that? Well, the funny thing is Jesus catered it, and you guys know, with this fish and bread. You know, but no one complained. Praise God for that. We'd be like, fish and bread? I didn't order this. But Jesus provides, and we're going to get there. But here's the thing. They followed him because they saw these needs, and even the people, it says, stuck with him. And they saw when he went to the other side, and then they followed him there. He says, I tell you the truth. This is in John 6. You didn't follow me because of the teachings. You didn't follow me for me. You followed me because I fed you. You see, we recognize that Jesus, he doesn't just want to meet the earthly needs that we have. He wants to meet the spiritual needs that we have. And what's more urgent? Getting a meal in my stomach or being saved? Yeah. You know, just feeling the satisfaction of a full tummy, which is wonderful. Amen. Or knowing God rightly through his Son and being with him forever. That's the thing that Jesus, that's the reason he feeds, is out of love, but he doesn't just give the food that perishes. He says, have the bread of life that never will go away. He's inviting them to know him, and that's what they need. Sometimes there are people who will come to us in our lives and they'll keep asking for the bread. And sometimes there's times to sometimes say, I think it's time to stop. I can keep giving you bread, but I want to teach you about the bread of life that will never let you down. The one who will always be there. You see, if we just attract people to ourselves, we don't do them any favors. But if we attract people to Jesus because of we're living like him, that's the goal. If we can teach people about Christ, Jesus, through our love. You see, Jesus has compassion on them, doesn't it? Because he just invited the disciples, the apostles, come away with me and let's rest. And then the crowds race and beat him there. And so what does Jesus do? Does he go to those people and say, sorry, folks, it's our day off? Some of you are like, hey, you told me that last week. I know, but I'm not Jesus. I want to be more like him. But he says, hey, he had compassion on them. For they were like sheep without a shepherd. Anybody ever take care of sheep? How do they do without people and help? Not so good. God doesn't call us like sheep because sheep are super smart, self-capable, amazing animals. They're not too smart. They cause problems. They get dirty. They get stinky. They bite. They have all things. But you know what? We were made to be cared for. God made us with knowing it in mind that you needed him, that we needed him. And he has compassion seeing that these people are lost. It says, when Jesus went ashore, he saw the large crowd, verse 34, and he felt compassion for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Matthew adds, and healed their sick. Luke adds, and he welcomed them. He didn't get there seemingly and going, oh, not these guys again. No, he says he welcomed them, and then speaking to them about the kingdom and curing in Luke 9:11, all who had any need. You know what's great about this is Jesus has both compassion for the lost sheep and his found sheep. Amen? He knows that his found sheep needs something. Let me ask you this. The disciples, the apostles, had just been serving in this capacity for this time and they came back. Did Jesus tell them, get up and start preaching and teaching and healing and doing all these things you've been doing? No, it says Jesus did it. He was doing the work. You see, Jesus both knows the needs of his disciples and the crowd, the lost and the found sheep, and he plans to meet them both. The disciples needed rest. How many of you, maybe you've gone beyond the point where you know you need a little help? Anybody? Maybe you've gone and you're doing this for other people. I took a class yesterday. Maybe a lot of you have done it. It's for chaplaincy. It's a requirement about occupational stress and first aid. And they're telling their people, going, you guys need to be checking yourself with everything we teach you. Yes, you should know how to be witnessing and ministering to other people in crisis situations. But here's a list of things, about 6 to 8 areas. You should be doing an inventory at least every month. Why do you think? So you don't burn out. So you don't have empathy fatigue. So you're not absorbing the problems of so many people and adopting them on yourself. And we're allowing someone else's stress to become your own. So much so that you can't feel like you can't get rid of it. And it becomes not just a burden, but an injury in your heart that you can't heal. It says you need to check this, because if you think you can be that helper forever and you become injured, you become weak. If we send you anywhere, we'll have to at least have one other person following you around to make sure you're okay. They'll ask you, how you doing? And if it's not good, stay home. Anybody ever want to be told? I've been told by people to stay home. And you know what? Usually they're right. Because I love you, but don't come. Nobody wants to hear that. But sometimes we need it. And we need those things of rest. We need those times. What's amazing is that Christ is sufficient to meet your needs as well as the needs of others. Does he need me? Oh, I don't know. Does God need anything or anyone? No. I'm not saying it to beat you up or myself. God doesn't need any one of us. But we're here because He wants us here, because He has plans and purposes, because He is a great God of love who made us. Like we said in VBS, you were created by God. You were designed by God and made for His purpose. You know, you were put there together so you would know Jesus as King, that you would know Jesus as Redeemer, that you would receive the Spirit and receive power and help to live a life that is impossible without God. Y'all know life's impossible without God, right? Doesn't just happen. We need God to live. Jesus says, I didn't just come to give you life. I came so you may have it abundantly. I came so that you can have life like it was meant. How many of us have looked at people who've settled with the way that the earth is right now? With death, decay, and all that just must be part of the norm. That's not what the book says. That's not how it started, and it's not going to end like that. Jesus can meet all of our needs. Go on to point number 3, please. Jesus knows our limitations. Jesus knows our limitations. In verse 35, it says, when it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate and it's already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Now, how many of y'all know that Jesus had a better idea than that? How many of you guys have tried attacking a problem? I know you have. You've tried attacking a problem your way in your wisdom, and then you read something or God seems to put it on your heart. I got to do something different. And it looks like it's crazy, right? How many of you all, whenever you're really mad at somebody and you feel the Lord and you read His word and it says, I'm supposed to forgive that person, not allow them trust back in your life for these areas, right? You know, I don't go to the person who keeps hitting me in the face and saying, okay, I guess that means I got to come get hit again. I might say, look, I forgive you, but I'm standing back here, okay? I'm not getting hit again. That hurts. There's trust that can be earned, but I can forgive him in my heart, saying the right to revenge, the right to hold this against you, I'm letting it go. I'm not going to hold on to it. Do you guys know that? Another thing I learned yesterday. Do you know that there's such a thing as forgiveness therapy? I'm not making this up. This came from the doctor who's training us, who does stuff. She's the head trainer for the FBI, FEMA. And she's saying, and she's a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to have believers in high places. So anyways, she's training people and talking to secular doctors and reading up on this study. They're finding out that people, at one example in the case study that they were doing, they had a man with about 17 or 18 vicious tumors that had been treated for cancer repeatedly. They said, your cancer isn't even that aggressive. It should be going away. The doctor just sat down with him, started to ask, so tell me about your life. That doctor found out that that man was so incredibly bitter about things that where he had been hurt. The doctor didn't know what else to do, literally prescribed him, you need to forgive the people you're holding grudges against in your life. I'm not making this stuff up. It's in secular studies now, guys. It's not just like sitting there like, it's amazing. And they're looking at it. You know what happened after that man began to forgive people in his life? His tumors shrank and went away, and he's still in remission. We recognize there's something about us. We were not built to hold on to that. We are not built to hold on to that kind of hurt. We need to be able to forgive to move on. But here's the thing. Jesus has better ideas than we do, doesn't he, about how to handle things? Because in our flesh, we don't want to do that. I'm mad about that. I want this. Jesus says, no, this is not for you. I'll take care of vengeance. I want you to take care of forgiveness, just like I forgave you. And then Jesus, moving on, forgive me. I know I'm going off topic a little bit. Jesus gave them something. He says, why don't you give them something to eat? Anybody ever think that's kind of funny when Jesus already knows what he's going to do? And literally it says that later. In fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, 5 and 6, it says, this he was saying to test him. They're like, Jesus, what are we going to do with these people? He says, well, you give them something to eat. How does that work, right? The proper answer is, I can't do that. It's impossible. And it says, for he, Jesus, himself knew what he was intending to do. Isn't God kind of funny? He's not asking us questions because he doesn't know the answers. God doesn't ask questions because he doesn't know the answers. He's asking us questions because we don't know the answers. So we'll start to think about it. Well, how would you solve this problem? He says, well, we probably need about 200 days labor. You know, those wages for every day for 200 days, that wouldn't be enough to feed these people. But Jesus, knowing that ahead of time, he says, okay, well, are we going to go spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? Then he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. Shoo-shoo. Go check them. Right? Now, John records that it didn't come from them. It came from a little boy. Now, this is kind of funny because you don't want to blame Jesus for stealing a kid's lunch, right? But what does he do? He goes to the boy. He says, well, this lad, young boy, has 5 loaves, barley loaves, and 2 fish. But then they're like, but what are these for so many people? You see, this is one of the points, guys. Number 3, Jesus knows our limitations, doesn't he? Remember when Satan came to test Jesus? Don't worry, I'm watching the time too. You're good. He says, when Satan came to tempt Jesus, he says, oh, you're hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? Since you're the Son of God, you can do this. Could Jesus have turned those stones into bread? He could have turned them into pizza. He could have turned them into sandwiches. He could have done anything. I like to think that when he did the miracle of bread, he turned it into different kinds of bread. I'd like donuts, garlic bread. Anybody? Jesus could have made garlic bread. He could do whatever he wanted, but he says to you, well, what do you have? The answer is, Jesus, you know that we're tired. We didn't get rest. All we can do is we found this kid with his lunch. And Jesus, see, because he could have done it all on his own. Instead, he says, what do you have? Let's do this together. Did they really have to do any work? No, he brought them there. In fact, in one of the gospel accounts, it says, as he began to teach the crowd, it says he told his disciples, kind of like at the Sermon on the Mount. Remember Matthew chapter 5? It says he brought his disciples to him and he began to teach them. There were others out there, but it was an intimate thing up close. Well, Jesus says again to them in the same way, come up on this mountain. And you guys come near me, but everybody was there. But the disciples, the apostles were at his feet and they were close. And so Jesus does the same thing here. And he says, okay, what do you got? That's not enough. You know, it's not. How many of you know that with Jesus, he makes us enough? He doesn't have to use us. He didn't have to use the loaves and fish. He could have had a banquet prepared from heaven, coming down from the sky with manna and all kinds of great things. In-N-Out, Chick-fil-A, you name it. It's going to be there. But instead, he says, what do you got? And let's see what we can do. And Jesus multiplies that. He said, you bring those loaves to me. In verse 41, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, broke the loaves and kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them and they all ate and were satisfied. In fact, in John, it says they were filled. And he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost. He gathers that remainder, and what did they pick up? But 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and of fish. There are some people who want to look at that and say, well, what probably happened was they saw that Jesus was picking on the little kid stealing his lunch, and so everybody started coughing up there. Well, I've got a ham sandwich, I've got a cheeseburger. And everybody continued. No, they didn't get the In-N-Out wrappers after. They were picking up fish and loaves. The one who makes all things decided to make more of what was there. This isn't just God guilting. He says that this is a miracle, folks. This isn't Jesus guilting everybody. You might say that's a miracle, but the scripture indicates that this was a miracle of Christ. In fact, enough for all four gospel writers to include this. There's only two things that you really see in both or in all of the gospel accounts. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the feeding of the 5,000. It was important to everybody to look at what he does. And this brings us to our final point. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There you go. You see, Jesus knows our limitations, but point four, Jesus knows his limitlessness. Don't ask me how to spell it, but it should be on the screen. Jesus knows his limitlessness. He is aware. How often are we ignorant of, even willfully so, of the limitlessness of God's ability, of God's love, of God's care, of God's provision? Gather the remainder. And it was more than enough. Do we understand the limitlessness of Jesus? You see, what's amazing is that what did the disciples have to do in their time of rest? They sat at Jesus' feet and they listened. You see, Jesus had a compassion for the lost. He didn't say, go away, I got to have this. He says, okay, here's how we're going to meet everybody's needs. I'm going to feed all y'all. I'm going to provide for all of you guys. And I'm going to teach you and I'm going to heal and I'm going to do this for everybody. The only thing those guys had to do was look for food and gather up the crumbs. They still got stuck with cleanup. Anybody like that? Some of you came up after VBS to help clean up. Thank you very much. But that's all. You see, God knows when enough is enough for us, and we need to be recharged and we need to be refreshed. What's amazing is that sometimes he will do it in the midst of what seems like work. How many of you have been blessed with a gift or a skill that you love serving Jesus Christ in this? And so many people, oh, thank you for doing this. No one else can. You know, I'm just so glad you do this. Maybe you don't always hear that. But when you serve the Lord in this way, it is not a burden to you. Anybody have something you are really good at and you love doing for the Lord? And then when you do that, it's not anything. I remember talking again with this lady yesterday, Naomi, who's doing the training. She says one of the most meaningful experiences she had as a counselor, I hope it's okay to share this. She's not to mention names or anything else. She just mentioned sharing with a man who is going through such grief and loss in his life. And she's just thinking in her head going, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say to this guy. I have nothing. I don't know what scripture to share. I don't know what words of comfort to give him. He is just pouring out his heart to me. And then afterwards, he just stops and ends it right there. And she's like, I didn't say anything. She's thinking, oh, I screwed up. I didn't have what it took. She said that man found her later and stopped her and said, thank you so much. What you said made such a difference to me. And she's just going, praise the Lord, brother. It's like, what can you do? Sometimes the things that seem to us like they're not that much, and it's just all I can give, and it seems like it's nothing. It's just nothing. It's like, God, I'm not enough. God knows we're not enough. That's why he says, come and let me see what you have. I will work with you. We were meant to work together with him, for his purposes. I can do all things through Christ, right? That doesn't mean Christ has called me to do all things, does it? No. You start to wonder sometimes, do I pick up that job, that thing, and do it poorly? Or do I let it go? Because maybe God has somebody else that will do it masterfully and it won't be a burden and they'll be good for it. Sometimes people say, well, that wasn't that good. Sometimes it's because me or somebody else, we picked up things trying to be helpful. Maybe we just weren't meant to pick up. But there are also things God calls us to pick up, and we look at it and say, that's impossible. And what he says is, well, sure, if you're doing it alone. But if you're going to trust me and work with me and for me, anything is possible. Trust me.
And sometimes even just saying yes to Jesus, we can sit back like her and just realize, I just stood up, but He did all the work. And I was worried because I don't have it. He did. And that's our trust. Well, we can look at a sermon and a scripture like this and say, Jesus, I'm not going to worry because You got it. What He calls us to, He is the one who's effecting the work. We're just vessels. Someone told me 2 weeks ago, it's like, just be like a glove for Jesus. I'm just kidding. I got a really weird hamburger helper feeling on that one, right? Anyone else wonder why the hamburger helper guy only had 4 fingers? That was creepy. I don't know. But we're being utilized by God, not that He takes us over, but works with us in a dance that is beautiful, and it's His power, His provision working in broken vessels like us. That's a praise. I know it's time to eat. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much. Help us to look at this piece of Scripture today. I pray that we would look at this and remember, Lord God, not just what I said. Would You please, Lord God, help us to go to the Word, to seek it out, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to read and understand what You say and what Your Scripture says. Help us to see at least what You showed me in this, that again, there is so much work to do. It is impossible to do it on our own. Let us not think it's about us, but help us to recognize sometimes we really do need Your rest. Sometimes Your rest does not look like what we think. Then maybe it means I'll have a very small part, but I'm just going to trust You for the big stuff. Maybe there are things I need to say no to. Help us to listen to You to know what that is. Help us to never stand up and feel like, whoa, I'm doing this, we're doing this. That we take the credit for ourselves, that we would never take Your glory. May we be open to admitting and putting Christ first in everything, whether it be in preaching, teaching, sharing, benevolence, when you're cooking a meal for somebody, when you're giving a ride, when you're just standing up to talk and you have no words to say. Help us not to take the credit, but to give You thanks for whatever You do through us and around us and sometimes in spite of us. Thank You for Your great work, O God, and loving us so much to invite us into Your rest. That is a blessing to us and to other people. And You are the one who's really doing the hard work. We just need to know when it's time to trust You with everything. Help me to know that. Help us to know that. Lord God, would You change our hearts to value Your rest, to also know, Lord God, how much You love us to value our rest, and how much You love others to also value the needs. It's not us meeting those needs, it's You in us. And help us to always point them back to You so that we don't think it's about us, about our goodness, about our glory, about how great we are and how much we help. Would You put in everybody's heart here a desire to see You lifted up and glorified, Lord Jesus? We ask this in Your beautiful and precious name. Amen.